if you look down from an aeroplane or a satellite or whatever onto a city, you see roads, you see roofs, and you see green areas. And that's why it's so very important we get those surfaces properties right, because that's where Angus and I work. It's those properties looking down from above that make a big difference.
A lot of people look at roofs. Some people have started looking at the effect of changing footpaths and roads. One of the issues with that, obviously, you've got cars driving over it, so there's only certain things you can do with changing the surfaces, but roofs cover a very large area of the urban environment, so if you can change the solar reflectance of that by a little bit, absorb less heat, you can save energy effectively.
What roofs are we looking at?
Well, you're looking at a lot of tile roofs, and you're looking at warehouses. We do a lot of work in thermal imaging nowadays. You take pictures in what range that we don't see with our eyes, but you can see the heat coming off. What we're interested in is how much heat is stored up in different places, as I said, especially late at night. If you fly over Sydney, you'll see some areas which are relatively cool and some areas which are quite hot. One of the worst is the CBD here. But if you just go down the road towards Mascot, where there's lots of customs and warehouses and stuff like that with the white roofs, they're somewhat cooler because they reflect. Okay. With shopping centres we've worked on, you'll see they're cooler. But the typical urban house and the roadways and everything there depends how many trees.
And it's a combination of the thermal mass of the building. So if you've got a big bit of concrete, if it heats up during the day, it's going to store the heat. If you've got something where it's, you know, a metal roof with insulation below it, you can't store much heat in that, so that'll cool back down below ambient relatively quickly and keep cool through the night.
And make life more comfortable for everyone.
And talking about a comfortable life, this notion of what an urban heat island is plays massively into this.
Well, basically, when the sun in the daytime, especially in summer, of course, and more recently in Sydney and other times, whole urban areas have lots of concrete and massive things and roadways and so on and buildings, including roofs, that absorb heat. And that heat gets stored up. It doesn't just go away. It stays there. And what happens, the urban heat island, the big problem is it's partly the day, uncomfortable outside, but it's more that this stored heat carries over into the nighttime. And you can find quite high temperatures in urban environments in the middle of the night, you know, 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, and you go out the same time in the countryside, it'll be 10 degrees lower. So it has massive health implications and morbidity rates, hospital admissions, all these things go up. And energy costs, of course, we use more air conditioners. And, you know, all in all, it's a big problem for the future.
For the main part of your research, you're looking at this area of reflection and, in particular, certain paint coatings that you can apply to roofs and they reflect more light. How are these coatings different from the ones that are on your conventional roof?
So you've got different ways you can reflect light. We're just basically looking at all the different methods you can do and seeing what is the best one to apply to a roof. Many years ago, we did some work on solar reflective paints which were coloured. So with that, you want to reflect the near infrared but still be able to have a colour that people might want. So in some cases people don't want to have a white roof, for example, but you can have, if you reflect all of the near infrared, then you can have a coloured roof of your choosing but still reflect the region that's only absorbing heat. And so paint companies are now going out and doing this sort of thing, but there's ways you can do this better, and so that's one of the things we look at.
What are some of the ways you can do it better?
So by adding different additives into the paint that aren't currently being used.
Which are what?
So one of the things we've done previously is doing metal flakes in the paint. So if you have aluminium, obviously everyone knows that reflects quite well. And if you do coatings on that aluminium and embed it in your paint binder, you can reflect the near infrared and have the colour you desire.
The other way to do it is the very white paints, the ones that do reflect, the best ones for our solar cool roof we've got are white, and the pigment that everyone uses tends to be what we call titanium dioxide. If you go along to Bunnings or wherever and buy some paint, you'll have almost certainly have some titanium oxide pigment. That's a little oxide particle.
It's the same stuff that's used in sunscreen.
That reflects right across. So if you want to then colour it, you add other particles. So what people have been looking at is what particles they can add into that. Traditional pigments up to a few years ago were absorbed right across the solar spectrum or tended to. What the game for most of the paint manufacturers is to get pigments that only colour where your eye sees, and they do not do anything, so that still allows you to reflect the other.
Have you been inside, either of you been inside a building with this certain coating? And if you have, can you explain what the temperature difference is like moving in?
So a lot of commercial buildings are air conditioned, so you don't usually feel much of a difference because it's got the air conditioning. But if you talk to the people that operate the plant for the cooling for the building, the amount of energy they're using is significantly less. And on the very hottest days, their air conditioning doesn't break down. Last summer, when you had all those really, really hot days, on those hot days, the air conditioning running at full capacity, eventually it drops out, the building overheats. And so if you're minimising the heat load coming through the roof, you can actually have the air conditioning not drop out. So it's not only saving energy, it's also making it that your building can continue to run. Obviously, you don't want to have your warehouse or your shopping centre getting hotter than people will actually want to be in.
There's another fascinating side. It comes back to the urban heat island thing. What we found when we started working with these people, or some years ago, and we did a couple of supermarkets up and with Lendlease and a few other companies as well, we compared two supermarkets, one that had the old coating on and one that had this new coating on. And we did a study of the energy use, and it dropped dramatically, absolutely dramatically. And the trouble is, we had computer models that said it only dropped half as much. And said, what the dickens is going on here? There's something we hadn't anticipated. We had a gut feeling early on what was happening, and that tied up the air around the building is actually cooler. What that does, A, it makes your air conditioner operate even more efficiently. Not only, as Angus said, that there's a load on the air conditioner drop, the air conditioner actually operates more efficiently. The thing we call if you buy an air conditioner, you get a COP. It's called the coefficient of performance. The higher that is, the better. But people don't understand that number they give you in the brochure is not a static number. It varies with the outside air conditions. So if that air is cooler, then your air conditioner will operate far more efficiently. A few degrees makes an enormous difference. That was half the gain. The other half was simply that cooler air was going into the building because you have air exchange in your building, especially in a supermarket, so there's air going in and out all the time. And if that air going in and out the building is a few degrees cooler, it literally doubled the energy savings.